I'm getting the wait sign. Am I good now? I'm good now. Welcome to worship on this day of Epiphany. We're glad to celebrate the light today, and it's nice that we actually have some light coming in the windows again this week after what's been a monsoon season. At least it feels like it in my yard. Glad that you're here as we worship and see Christ revealed to us this day. Announcements list is not as long as it sometimes is, so I'm just going to hit several of these that are important that I want you to know about. Next week, immediately following worship, we're going to have a cemetery committee meeting, and there's some business to handle. So if you have been involved with the cemetery committee, if you'd like to be involved with the cemetery committee, please do join us immediately after worship next week for that meeting. Let's say we're going to meet back here in the back room next week, right after worship in the Sunday school classroom for that cemetery committee meeting, all interested parties. Confirmation resumes again today. So if you've got confirmation age family, please make sure they know that. I think I've been in touch with everybody. And then the silly bowling event that was scheduled has been moved to the 25th. It's a Friday night, so keep that in mind. Are there other announcements we should be aware of for the good of the community today? There's a prayer shawl I know today.
So this prayer shawl is for Sue Needers. She is the mother of Stephanie Hearn's friend Mark. She's going to be entering hospice, so she needs our prayers.
We wish happy birthday this week to Bobby, David, Michael, and Judy. Are there any others we should add to that list? Gary's is today. Happy birthday. All right. We'll wish happy birthday to Gary, too. Others? Let's pray for those folks. We don't have any anniversaries that we know of, I believe. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you. stand at the beginning on page 94. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and
cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Let us pray to the Lord. defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
Let us pray. O God, on this day you revealed your Son to the nations by the leading of a star. Lead us now by faith to know your presence in our lives and bring us at last to the full vision of your glory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated. If the children will head this way for a children's message.
Our nativity scene up, and when we walk by to go to children's church, you'll have to notice I see at least, I think that all three wise men are over there. What did the wise men do? That's right, they were the very first people to bring Jesus gifts. So they started the whole, you can just say thank you to them really, because they started the whole gift giving thing at Christmas. So because of them, you guys get gifts, right? And so today, we're going to talk about the wise men as magi, because one of the famous stories that probably came from the wise men is the gift of the magi. And if you go to Davis Townsend, we have two versions, the older kids version and the younger kids version. So I'm going to tell you the story of the gift of the magi. So there was this couple, and this husband and wife really loved each other, and they wanted to buy each other something really great for Christmas to show their love, but they were poor. And so the woman had beautiful long hair, kind of like Gracie, really nice and long hair. And so she decided, I don't have any money, what am I going to do? So she had her hair cut off, and she sold it so that she could get her husband a nice gift. And what she wanted to get him is a nice chain, because he had this pocket watch that he carried, but he didn't have a chain to put it on. Well, in the meantime, the husband had been to work and he was coming home, and he wanted to get his wife something super nice. And she had been admiring these combs for her nice long hair. And so he came home with this beautiful comb for her long hair. But then when they saw each other and started talking, they realized she couldn't use the comb because she had cut her hair to get him the chain. And he couldn't use the chain because he had sold his pocket watch. And so they figured out that they had given what was most precious to them to give to each other. And that's what God does for us every single day. He gave his most precious gift, his Son, so that every day we have the gift of his love and eternal life. So that's pretty cool that we get God's most precious gift, isn't it? All right, we're going to say a little prayer. And you can actually keep your eyes open for this prayer because we're going to do a couple little things with our hands, okay? Dear God, teach us to open our hands to give to others and open our heart to receive God's love. Amen. And if you're coming to Children's Church, we're going to continue learning about the three wise men in there. So you can come with me.
On Epiphany of our Lord Sunday, first reading is from Isaiah chapter 60. A reading from Isaiah. Arise.
I love that story. Okay, guys, we're going to gather and.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all the Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. The word of the Lord. The psalm for today is Psalm 72 and shall be read responsively by whole verse. Give the Lord your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son.
May you judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice.
May the mountains yield prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he live while the sun endures and as long as the moon throughout all generations.
May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth.
In his days may righteousness flourish and peace abound, should the moon is no more. May all the kings fall down before him, all nations give him service.
For he delivers the needy when they call, the poor and those who have no helper.
He has pity on the weak and the needy and saves the lives of the needy.
From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight.
The second reading is from Ephesians. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation. As I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which you will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I have become a servant, according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the servants, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety may now be known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you. Christ.
You may be seated. Okay, so pretty familiar story this morning, right? But let's see how well we were paying attention. Question one, how many kings were there in the story? Okay, I see some people indicating three, but not confident enough to say it out loud, but they're doing three with their fingers. Okay, good. Well, actually, the answer is two. King Herod, right, and the child, Jesus, who has been born King of the Jews. Some of you, no doubt, thought I was talking about the wise men, right? But the Bible actually doesn't call them kings. It calls them wise men. So, two kings, even maybe arguably just one king, because Herod really is more of a local puppet of the Roman Empire than he is a real king. So you could maybe make an argument for even one king just being Jesus. But okay, how many wise men? Oh, okay, interesting. The answer is we have no idea, actually. A lot of us are saying three and going, wait a minute, we know that their names were Balthazar, Melchior, and Gaspar even. But I hate to tell you, that's not in the Bible. That's a tradition that developed in the church something like 500 years after the birth of Jesus and like 400 years after the Gospel of Matthew was written. We get this tradition of three wise men, and maybe that's because there were three gifts, right? The gold, frankincense, and the myrrh. So we said, well, nobody's going to bring more than one gift, so there must have been three of them. As long as we're bursting bubbles this morning, we might as well point out that we have this beautiful nativity scene here still, which I said, let's leave up this year because we're going to read about the wise men, and the wise men are here in the nativity set. But you know, these wise men don't actually appear anywhere in Luke's gospel, which is what we read from on Christmas Eve every year. And in Matthew's story, The wise men don't even appear until maybe weeks or months after Jesus' birth. I mean, if you assume that maybe the star shows up about the time Jesus is born, well, then the wise men have to notice it, and they have to make plans to travel, and then they actually have to travel, and then they have to stop at Herod's court, and then finally they get to Bethlehem. So this could be like months we're talking about. So as nice as it looks in the Christmas plays and the nativity sets at your home and mine, there's actually no biblical narrative that would put shepherds and donkeys and wise men together at the manger. How's that for turning your idea about the Magi and the Christmas story upside down this morning? It's appropriate, though, particularly on this day, that we would overturn some expectations as we celebrate Epiphany, because over and over again, that's what we have happening in the story. Expectations being subverted and things being turned upside down. I mean, who would you expect would be the first one to know about a king of the Jews being born? You'd think it would be the Jews, right? Particularly the ones connected to the nobility in Herod's court. They ought to know before anybody else about a new king. But in Matthew's telling, outside of Mary and Joseph, who are the first people to know? It's not the nobles of Herod's court. It's not even someone from among the Jews. It's those foreigners from the east, the wise men. As likely as not, they were probably Persian astrologers from what is now Iran. They're the ones who are the first ones to worship the Messiah. Not what you'd expect. And what's more, this king that they come to pay homage to, he's not wealthy. He doesn't seem to wield any earthly power. He's just a baby born to common folk. Not what you'd expect. From the beginning, when Matthew tells about Jesus, he's telling the story of Jesus, the Messiah, that did not fit the mold of expectations. Jesus, the king, who came not to be served, but to serve. From the beginning, there is this sense that Jesus will take the world and turn it upside down. And to Herod, that's not a happy realization, right? He's not sitting at the very top of the pile, but he's pretty far up in his neck of the woods, and he's got quite a comfortable life for himself. So the news that there is a child who could turn things upside down, Herod sees that as a threat to be dealt with. So much so that he tries to trick the wise men into helping him find Jesus. And when that doesn't work, he goes to tragic lengths to neutralize that threat. Do you remember this story? Herod kills all the children in and around Bethlehem under the age of 2 in an effort to take out Jesus, which, by the way, forces Jesus and his family to flee violence in their own country and seek shelter in another country as refugees. All of this because Herod feared what Jesus would do. This is actually a pattern that continues for Jesus later in life as an adult too, right? He interrupts the established order of things. He upends people's expectations, and people don't like it. They want him gone, many want him dead, and eventually they crucify him, right? They kill him for doing this. As we've mentioned, today is the day that we celebrate as Epiphany. And you probably know the word Epiphany from outside of the church context, right? In everyday usage, an epiphany means a sudden realization, like that light bulb moment, right? And that's not far off from what we celebrate at Epiphany. But for us as Christians, Epiphany is not so much about us figuring something out as it is about God revealing something to us. Through the star and the wise men, what is revealed is Jesus, the Lord. Jesus, whose presence overwhelms the wise men with joy, Jesus is revealed here on Epiphany as the Son of God, the Messiah, the one who will save the people from their sins. And throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus continues to be revealed as the one who comes to save all people, Jews and Gentiles, the one who comes to care particularly for the poor, the sick, and the cast aside. And nowhere is Jesus revealed more clearly than on the cross, the place he was executed for disrupting the powers that be. In the cross and the empty tomb, Jesus is revealed as the one who will not do what we expect, right? Because what do we expect of the dead? That they stay dead. But Jesus will not. And by his rising, Jesus is revealed as the Messiah who turns the world upside down by destroying the power of death. We've flipped another page on the calendar now to 2019. If, as you look at this new year, you're seeing some things on the horizon that might make you less than excited, if there's something in the back of your mind that you're dreading that you know is going to be difficult down the road, if you expect that you might encounter some hardship or pain, perhaps even the power of death in this new year, some of that may come in 2019. But do not forget the good news. Jesus, the one who turns the world upside down, has been revealed to us. This is Jesus who is revealed as the one who will not conform to expectations. Jesus is revealed as a light in the midst of darkness to stay with us, bringing life and hope to places where we could not expect it. So this year, as we look to all that may come, stay in the light of that hope, bask in it, let it warm your weary bones, take in Jesus, and in so doing, take in life, and then, fed, nourished, and forgiven, freed, reveal Jesus to others. Shine the light around. Amen.
Let us say what we believe by the use of the Apostles' Creed found on page 105 on the wall. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. Third day he rose again.
He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Dwelling in the presence of God with us, let us boldly pray for the church, the world, and all in any need. Drawn into the light of God, we pray for the proclamation of the grace of Jesus Christ. Give us courage and boldness, Lord, to go forth into the world to tell the good news of what God has done. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Drawn into the glory of creation, we pray for the earth. Sustain every living thing with abundant resources, clean water, and sustainable harvests. Help us to steward all that you have provided. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Drawn into the brightness of God's presence, we pray for the nations of the world. Reveal your compassion and peace for the sake of all who live in the shadow of oppression, violence, and fear. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Drawn into the light of healing mercy, we pray for all who wait for healing and relief from suffering. Especially we pray for Burnett, the family of Jane, Bobby, Harold, Lydia, John, Lydia, Sheila, Gary, Barbara, Sue, Bill, the family of Barbara, Joanne, Judy, Debbie, Taylor, Billy, Gracie, the family of Chuck, Wayne, Judy, Eddie, Tommy, Kathy, Noah, Kevin, James, Tyler, Robin, Dean, Tony, Gary, Becky, Joanne, the family of Harvey, Vince, Walter, Marty, and all those we name now. Give us hope, Lord, in the promise of new life where pain and suffering will be no more. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Drawn into the dawn of a new day, we pray for the ongoing reconciliation between people. Make us bold to name sin in our own lives and unite us in the promise of forgiveness and mercy. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Drawn into the promise of everlasting life, we pray for those who mourn and give thanks for all the saints who now rest in the brightness of God's presence. Make us confident in our worship as we reflect the light of God with eternal praise. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Trusting in the presence of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, we commend all for whom we pray, dwelling in the light and hope of Christ our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
Also with you.
We share a sign of Christ's peace. Thank you. I'll let you finish for me. Yeah, the offering is now, and we have a basket offering. We have baskets today. This is still on. Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
Let us pray. All things, through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You may be seated. Stand. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We'll say together our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.